Okay, nice to be with you again. This is part two. We're doing a two-part series on the joy of the Lord, right? Okay, yeah, because there was so much last week that we didn't get to share with, and so much has been happening. Yeah, amen. That comes from Nehemiah 8:10, the Old Testament. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the word strength is actually, in the Hebrew, it's actually the word fortress. So it is a place that brings protection. If we go there, we have protection. Got it? Protection. Yep. Got it? So that's cool. Thank you. Strength means fortress, and joy is a place. All right, we're going to talk about a few other things today. This all started, for me, it started a few months ago as I listened to a song on YouTube at the live song of The Joy of the Lord. And I thought, this is really interesting. It was by Maverick City, and they're live in Atlanta, I think, and they just did it outside at night. And at the end of the song, they went into just spontaneous worship. Very, very wonderful. So I've been listening to that the last few months. And then Ron sent me a text about 3 weeks ago with his hailed out corn. And he said, we're trying to live in James chapter 1, verse 2. And that says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. And so I said, there's something to this. The joy of the Lord is a place, but the joy of the Lord can help us through any situation that we face. Any situation. And so just started digging a little bit deeper. That's why I started last week. And here it is in, this is another version. I think this is the Passion Translation, James 1, verse 2. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. It seems like it's at these times that God will add to our choice for joy. If we say, I'm choosing to count it all joy, he adds to it. All right? He adds to our choices. You see, our choices and the grace of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Our choices plus the grace of God is power. Makes that the most powerful force in the universe. That's why it's important. Okay. Let's go on here. We got a few more verses and a couple of testimonies. John 15:11, right before 16, all right? If you just get a chance, John is wonderful, 14, 15, 16, 17, okay? You can just read that through. It's almost all red letter, okay? It's Jesus talking to us, okay? And John 15, this is what he says. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Joy comes from listening to Jesus speak. Because that's what he said here. I've spoken to you so that my joy would be in you and your joy would be full. Joy comes from listening to Jesus speak. And you get double joy. This is a double joy verse, all right? His joy in us and our joy being full. Joy comes from listening to Jesus speak. This is the importance, and this is why Pastor Larry's always up here, Pastor Mike is always up here with the Word, with the Word. We're in the Word because we want to hear Jesus speak to us. We take these times, set aside time in our day where we can listen to Jesus speak to us. Because he said, I've spoken to you that my joy will be in you and that your joy will be full. So it's very important. The best part of our day, whenever that is, you know, we got different parts of the day that are the best for us, or we're the most alert. Give some of the best part of your day to Jesus, to listen to him, because he wants to speak. In early missionary life, as I read missionary biographies, missionaries on the field would have early morning devotions, and they would also have evening devotions. Okay? They had them both. They said, we're covering both ends of the day and both ends of the night. Okay? They called them Vespers, morning Vespers and evening Vespers. And they would have those times because they were just trying to follow Jesus. They were trying to listen to him. Joy comes from listening to Jesus speak. And joy is a place. We go there. Joy of the Lord is a place. And the joy comes from listening to Jesus speak. And that's the double joy. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'll see if these are in the order they are. Acts 15, verse 3. This is an excellent verse. So the church, or the people that were gathered, sent Paul and Silas on their way. And as they passed through Lebanon and Samaria, you've heard of those places? Yeah. Famous places over there, okay? As they passed through Lebanon and Samaria, they stopped to share with the believers how God was converting many from among non-Jewish people. Hearing this report brought great joy to all the churches, all the people. They're just giving a good report of what God is doing among others. So joy, the joy of the Lord comes from listening to good reports of what God has done. And we just got a couple of them. Tracy here, joy helped her in the situation she was in right there. And also with Mark's brother. Okay? Those are good reports. Mary stood up here and gave a report of their time with their family. It was a good report. Right? It was a good report. The joy of the Lord comes to us from listening to good reports of what God has done. Listening to good reports of what God has done. That's why our testimonies are important. That's why we're paying attention. I don't know if this is the next one or not, but it's Luke 10:17. That's probably not the next one, so I'll just have to tell you that one. Luke 10:17. We're gonna come back to that Acts 8. Luke 10:17 says, the disciples returned, filled with great joy, telling Jesus, Whoa, even the demons are subject to us. Filled with joy because they saw Jesus work through them in ministry. Even the demons are subject to us, they said in John 10:17. Oh, there it is. And God, that's Genesis. I like Genesis. God set them in expanse of the heavens to give the light on the earth. Those are the sun, moon, and stars. Okay. All right, so John, that one was Luke 10:17. That's the return of the 70. Some versions say 72. All right, the return of the 72 disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. Somebody learning about Jesus. Okay, learning about Jesus. Oh, there it is. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Joy comes from ministry. Casting out those demons. Right? Tearing down spiritual strongholds. Strategic level spiritual strongholds. Brings joy. Tear down strategic level spiritual strongholds, and you get joy. Okay? This thing, this worship time, Friday night, you know that's a community worship time that happens every 5 or 6 weeks here in Stromsburg. I don't know of another community that has a community worship time. And in Stromsburg, it has happened over and over and over. It happened here for a while. It happened right here in the church, Saturday night, community worship time, mostly focused on the youth. This one's focused on the youth, but we end up with a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s there also. At the community worship time. Not many towns have that. Something is happening, okay? Something is happening. And it's important for us to pay attention to what's going on around us, to notice the things that God is doing, and to be a part of it when we can. All right? Notice the things that God is doing. Okay, the next one. That's Joe Rice Storm. Okay, we got the storm of God moving, okay? The power of God is moving. We're coming in like a wind. That was it. Rice storm. I like it. Thank you. All right, so Acts 15:13. Okay, Acts 15:13. I love this, okay? 15:3. So the church sent them on their way. Oh, yeah, we did that one. Our joy comes from listening to good reports, all right, and what God has done. And so we listen here today to some of the things that God is doing. He is very, very active, okay? Very active, all right? Well, here's the next one, Acts chapter 6. The crowds were eager to receive Philip's message. Now, Philip is considered an evangelist, all right? He's called Philip the Evangelist, all right? Now, Philip is you're familiar with him working with the Ethiopian eunuch, all right, on the road to Gaza, okay? And he just appears there. God says, go to Gaza, walk next to this Ethiopian eunuch, you'll see. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. Ethiopian came into Judaism. So there were a lot of Jewish Ethiopians that came back to Jerusalem every year for the feasts, the festivals, right? So he walks along, and this guy is reading from the book of Isaiah. So Philip says, hey, do you know what you're reading there? Well, I wish I had somebody to explain it. Philip says, hey, I can help you with that. Okay, that's the perfect, see somebody reading the Bible, you say, what are you reading? You understand it? Okay, and help them understand it. So that's what Philip did. And the Ethiopian eunuch, what did he say? I believe in Jesus and what he has done. Can I be baptized? And Philip says, yeah, sure, where's the water? There happened to be water right there. So he jumps off the chariot. This guy has a whole entourage because he is the keeper of money for Ethiopia. I mean, he handles the money. Hello. All right. The treasurer of Ethiopia. And so he gets out and Philip baptizes him right there in some water. Baptizes him. And when the Ethiopian eunuch comes out of the water, Philip is gone. Where'd he go? Well, I got new stuff to go on. Let's get back to Ethiopia. Okay? And so Philip was trans-relocated to Azotus, another city. Just went. And he's there, found there preaching the gospel. All right, so the crowds were eager to hear Philip's message, and they were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders that he performed. See, Philip was a power evangelist. I kind of like this guy, okay? He was a power evangelist. Acts 7, many demon-possessed people were set free. They were delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks. And many who were lame and paralyzed were also healed. He's a power evangelist, okay? We're seeing stuff happen. This resulted in an uncontainable joy filling the city. Uncontainable joy. The joy could not be contained. Now that I looked up the word uncontainable, the word is mega. It means big, mega in the Greek. Mega joy, all right? So from the ministry that we're involved with, we can gain mega joy. Mega joy. We had a team in South India one time. And they were just going out to the villages and preaching the gospel, praying for the sick and seeing the healings and miracles. But there was one lady who came to every meeting that they were at, just followed them for 10 days. And she didn't come forward for prayer or anything, but just this Indian lady showed up at all the meetings. They wonder why she doesn't show interest. And so what happened was, the day they were leaving, after 10 days of ministry, they were actually leaving, getting ready to go. And they were in the church saying goodbye to the pastor. The pastor was praying for them and thanking them for coming to help with his evangelism. And so they finished that, and their bags were packed. They were ready to go out and get on the bus and go to the airport. And the lady came into the church. And she said, "I've been following you for 10 days. They said, "We know. We know you've been following us for 10. We've seen you at every meeting in the villages." And she came to the church. They said, she said, "I just need to be healed. Would you pray for me for healing?" He said, "You bet. We'd love to." So the lady came to the front, and they gathered around the lady. The lady started manifesting a demon. And so they tried to cast out the demon. Nothing was happening. One of our team members, this is what we do in ministry situations. "Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And one of the team members sensed the Lord say, "Get the flags and worship behind the woman." So all the people, the team was praying for the woman. And this one of our team members just went over and got the flags and just stood here waving the flags, worshiping Jesus. Just worshiping Jesus like this, waving the flags. And it wasn't very long. And what happened? The evil spirits came out of her with loud screams and shrieks. And many who were lame and paralyzed were also healed, because she was, after she was delivered, they prayed for the healing. She was instantly healed. And then she said, "Who is this Jesus?" She'd been hearing for the last 10 days about Jesus. And she came to Jesus right there in the church. So the bus had been waiting outside for them with their backpacks. So they grabbed their backpacks, ran out the door. But before, their last act in the church was to see a woman delivered and healed and come to Jesus. And they said, "Pastor, she's all yours. You take it from here. We got to get to the airport." And it resulted in an uncontainable joy, filling the church, filling the city. Mega joy. All right, what's another one? Until the John 16. Yeah. Whoa. Hello. Hello. The same one. Whoa. This is exactly the same verse. The Dan shared. The exact same verse that he shared in the offering. "Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking. And you can be sure that you will receive what you ask for. And your joy will have no limits." Your joy will have no limits. So this is no limit joy. All right, we're taking the cap off, right? The joy will just keep coming. There is no limits to this joy. No limit joy. And that's what that says. I'm not making this up, you guys. This is joy with no limits. Tracy was in charge of a convention. Conference, convention. Can I call it that? I know they have different words, but me and Ron, Mary Ann, Cheryl, others were there. And they had a speaker. It was the last day there's a speaker. And we went, the speaker just started talking about the fire of God and then couldn't talk anymore. So actually sat down and dropped the microphone. You heard the microphone go bang on the podium, and then it went bang on the floor as it rolled off the podium, and then the microphone again went bang as it hit the floor off the stage. And we thought, whoa, this is amazing. What's going on? We got some of that no limit joy. We got the joy of the Lord. As that speaker came down and said, "Hey, anybody that wants prayer, come forward." And the speaker came down and had two people holding up the speaker, one on each side. And the speaker prayed for every person. And just said three words. Not four words. The speaker said four words. It said, the fire of God. Went to the next person, the fire of God. Went to the next person, the fire of God. And I know I like to stand under someone praying for me, but I couldn't stand. And it was as if someone hit me from the side on my feet, and my feet went in the air. And I went flying back. In fact, I started laughing. I had like no limit joy. I laid on the floor and probably laughed 15, 20 minutes. When I opened my eyes, what was right in front of my face? Bronze shoes and feet. I said, where's he at? He was farther back. And I was looking at his feet. This joy with no limit, no limit joy. God wants to pour that out on us. God wants to pour that out on us. You know, when we're going through various difficulties, sometimes we have many difficulties that we're facing. But when we're going through those difficulties, God wants to give us that place of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to know the place of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to walk in the place of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to be in that place of the joy of the Lord. And there's other joys here that come along with that. I think we'll just go to the last one, the prayer and prayer. Is that it? Was that the last one? Okay, good. We just went there, yeah. This is a good one. Philippians 2:2 is unbounded joy. And the unbounded joy comes, maybe this is significant for us today, comes from unity. Philippians 2:2 says, I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity, with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together as one, harmonious, with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. We're filling our leaders' hearts with unbounded joy from walking in unity. Okay? Unity brings the joy of the Lord. This is why this community worship night is so important. The community worship night is so important. And things that happen on a spiritual level in our community. Because unity will bring the place of the joy of the Lord. Bring unbounded joy from unity. We always tell our teams, you because there's always an attack on unity, the enemy knows the end result of this. That's why he doesn't want us to be in unity. He knows the end result of disunity. Things get messed up. But he knows the result of unity is unbounded joy. One of the results is unbounded joy. It's the joy of the Lord and a place you and I can be, walking in unity. Those results from unity, unbounded joy. Okay, let's close in prayer. Go to prayer in action. I think we're going to see there's a whole lot more with this, but it's just been really wonderful for me to reflect on these verses and read the word for joy, that relate to joy in the scriptures. You guys can do it too. You can just go farther with this. All right, so let's stand up and have a laugh. All right, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our place, and we want to go there. We want to be there. We want to walk in that, Lord, with you. So, Lord, would you kick up a notch the joy of the Lord in each of our lives? No matter what difficulties we're going through, God, we ask you for the double joy, that you would put your joy in us and that our joy would be full. And God, we recognize our desperate need for you. Fill us with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.